When basketball coach Johnny Orr made the move to Iowa State University in 1980, he woke up a sleepy program and turned Cyclone basketball into a force to be reckoned with. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Legendary Cyclone basketball coach Johnny Orr passed away on Tuesday at the age of 86. This hour, we'll remember Coach Orr with Bryce Miller, Des Moines Register sports editor, Jim Hallahan, former assistant coach for ISU basketball, Bump Elliott, former athletic director at the University of Iowa, and Jeff Hornacek, who played for Orr and is now head coach of the Phoenix Suns. We also want to hear your stories. Join our conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. Legendary Cyclone basketball coach Johnny Orr passed away on Tuesday. He was 86 years old, and we now know that his death was due to complications from a fall. Johnny Orr made the move to Iowa State University in 1980. He had been head coach at Michigan. He came to Iowa State and woke up a sleepy basketball program. He took the Cyclones to the NCAA tournament 6 times, and he is, of course, the father of what is known as Hilton Magic. This hour, we'll remember Coach Orr, and we want to hear your stories. The number to call is 866-780-9100, 866-780-9100. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org, or you can post on our Facebook page or tweet us at IPR Talk. And with me to start the remembrance is Bryce Miller of the Des Moines Register. He's sports editor. Hello, Bryce.
Sports editor. I'm sports columnist now. But that's okay.
Bryce.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. Jim Hallahan is also here. He recently retired from his position as executive director of the Iowa Sports Foundation. But from 1982 to 1994, he was Johnny Orr's right-hand man, his top assistant coach with the Cyclones. Hello, Jim.
Good morning. Good morning.
Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Yeah, I've been on several times talking Iowa games or lighting up Iowa or whatever, so I always appreciated the support.
Well, thank you very much. And, of course, as I mentioned, we want to hear your stories throughout the hour today. The number to call is 866-780-9100. We're going to hear from Bump Elliott, former athletic director at the University of Iowa, a little later on in the show, and his association with Johnny Orr goes way back to high school. Jeff Hornacek will also be on the show, and, of course, he played guard for the Cyclones from 1982 to 1996. He's now head coach for the Phoenix Suns. And Bryce, why don't you start us off? The story's been told often, but let's tell it again. When Johnny decided to come to Iowa State University, Iowa State wasn't actually recruiting him. How did he get this job?
Yeah, well, yeah, Iowa State was looking for a basketball coach, and one of the people they talked to about, you know, as they tried to, back in those days, as they gathered candidates, it probably wasn't the situation we're in these days, where there are high-paid search firms and the cloak and secrecy and all the things that are part of, you know, major college athletic coach search recruiting efforts these days. And so, as they're talking to Johnny about it, the short version is he learned what they were going to pay their new basketball coach, which I think in a couple of ways signaled their commitment that they really wanted to turn things around at Iowa State. And he said, "Well, why not me?" And that was what did it. They hadn't considered Johnny as someone who might be interested in that job, I don't think. And Jim probably knows the story better than me, but just because he'd had success at Michigan, he's also the winningest coach in the history of the Wolverines.
Right.
So that's a program that was established. I think he was looking for a new challenge. I think the money signaled a commitment, and it was a decision that really profoundly changed his life and Iowa State basketball.
Well, and the money may have been attractive at the time, but looking at that paycheck now, it doesn't seem that big a deal. $44,000 is what the Cyclones were offering.
Yeah, and it's all in context. Back in those days, I believe that was the highest salary for a college basketball coach, or at least that anybody knew at the time. So it sounds like nothing these days, but at that time, it really was a lot, and it meant something. It meant that, not just in Johnny's personal life, that there was a chance to, you know, support his family and do all those kind of things that every one of us considers when we make our life and job decisions. But I think, again, it just signaled that Iowa State was very serious about trying to do something special with their basketball program.
Well, and Jim, maybe you can put it in perspective for us, because, of course, the job at Michigan was a really prestigious job. Coming to Iowa State was not a prestigious move. Can you give us an idea of what the program was like when Johnny arrived in 1980?
Well, I came 2 years later in 1982, but even 2 years later, when I got here and I went over to the gym, over to State Gym to check out the guys and see what they looked like, I came back and told Coach Orr, I said, Coach Orr, I just came from East Tennessee State and my team would beat this team by 25. I said, we got some work to do. They weren't very good. And to go on with what Bryce about the story when he left Michigan, you know, he was a ninth paid coach in the Big Ten and had been to the national championship just a couple years before. And Don Canham was the AD at Michigan, who was a very powerful man, and he was one of those guys that felt it was an honor to coach at Michigan, and the money shouldn't matter. You know, it's an honor to be there. And so Coach had a great opportunity to come here, and actually they called him and had him come out and look at the campus, look at the facilities, and ask him what it would take to build a big program. And so he came up with like 10 things and told them what they needed to do, and he went around with Dave Cox, who was the assistant AD, and Dave's a great guy, very personable and everything. And, of course, when you meet Coach Orr, everybody likes him. Well, then they got to thinking, gosh, you know, he's wanting us to hire Frieder, but we really like this guy. And so they called him and said, well, Coach, what would you do? What would it take for you to get here? And he said, well, would you do all the 10 things that I said it needs to be done? And he said, we'll do it, Coach. And he said, well, I'm your guy.
Wow. Well, in the recent remembrance that was up on the big board at Hilton Coliseum on New Year's Eve, one of the quotes from Johnny was saying that after he got here and he went to his first practice, he went home and told his wife, maybe I am crazy.
Yeah, it was, they were nice kids, and we still see some of those kids, and those kids are part of the Iowa State family. Ron Fowlcheck still comes back. His daughter goes to school here. They may not have been great players, but they were good kids. It just the caliber of player wasn't at the level to play with Kansas and Missouri and Oklahoma and schools like that.
Right. Well, I want to get to the phones quick. I know our first caller, Marty, can't stick around long, and we do want to hear your memories all this hour. 866-780-9100. Marty's on the line in Gardner. Hi, Marty.
Hey, hi. I'll be quick. I just wanted to say Johnny was so much more, than a coach, the student there. He wanted to bring the basketball program up, but he wanted to bring the fan base up. He wanted to help bring the campus up. If you remember, there was some issues during Visha, and Johnny Orr, you know, was part of trying to quell those problems. And, you know, kids respected him for that. And one of my favorite memories, though, was an Iowa basketball game in Ames. And I was sitting a few rows behind the Iowa team, and little pellets of ice kept coming down from the stands and hitting. And finally, Johnny got up from the bench and grabbed the public address microphone and just kind of said, knock that off, you know. So it's just he would do what was necessary, coaching or encouraging the fans or, you know, getting the students to be students and not rabble-rousers. So great guy, huge impact on the campus.
Well, Marty, thank you so much for your call. And again, you can join our conversation at 866-780-9100. And Jim, I mean, Johnny really was a larger-than-life character on campus at Iowa State University and around the state of Iowa. He was incredibly charismatic. But what was it about him that just made people want to listen to him and love him?
It was just his presence. Some people have it and some people don't. Most people don't. But he had a presence that with all the players, it demanded respect without him ever having to try to get respect. With the people in Iowa and around the country, it was a one to be around him without him going around and asking people to come over and listen to him talk or whatever. He just had a certain presence that if he hadn't been a basketball coach, he'd have been successful in anything that he did because of this presence that he had. And he also kept a very humble attitude. He came from Taylorville, Illinois, not too far from where I grew up, and his dad was a coal miner, and he always related with people that were a little bit down and under and did a lot of things for those kind of people that others didn't even know about, and yet he could be at a country club with the wealthiest people in the state or the governor and be as just as comfortable. So It's just a unique thing. I used to try to think of another coach because I've been in coaching a long time and try to think of another coach like him or another person like him, and I couldn't think of anybody. He was just special.
Do you remember when you first met him, Jim?
Well, I actually met him when I was a high school kid. He came down to Decatur to recruit me. He was assistant coach at Wisconsin, and he had signed a really good player the year before from our school. And I kind of thought, oh, this is great. I'm going to go to Wisconsin. But he left at the end of that year and went to Massachusetts and sent me a letter and wanted me to come to Massachusetts. Well, I'm living in Decatur, Illinois, and in those days, Massachusetts was like going to Russia. And so I said, Coach, I'm not even going to waste a visit. I got a girlfriend here in Illinois, and I'm not going that far from home. So got to know him real early then and then reconnected in the coaching business when I was coaching at Virginia Tech.
Well, and we were talking a little bit about his charisma, his connection with the fans, and, of course, he had this unbelievable entrance into Hilton Coliseum. The Pep Band would play the Tonight Show theme song. Then the entire crowd would roar, "Here's Johnny," and Johnny would come out and he'd pump his fist. Had he already developed that entrance by the time you came in 1982?
Yeah, and you know what? He didn't really like that at the beginning because he felt bad because the team was no good, and he hated for him to, you know, he kind of wanted to slip in, you know, kind of slip in and sit down and get ready to take a licking. And the band and stuff wouldn't let him, they wouldn't let him stop. No, Coach, we're going to do this. We're going to do this. So as time went on, I mean, we'd get behind him, and we'd say, Coach, this is a big game tonight now. You got to really get him fired up. You got to really – and, boy, he would charge out there and throw his fist up in the air, and we'd just sit there and admire it, and then we'd sneak out on the floor and sit down on the bench. But nobody else could do that. When you're that's a business, and you're getting ready for a big game, and to be able to do that, that's really hard. And yet for him it was a natural thing.
Well, and for a lot of years, I would guess he got bigger cheers than the players.
No, there was no question. He was bigger than Iowa State. I mean, you talk about bigger than the players. When Iowa had big events, golf events, they invited him. Anything happened in the state, people wanted him there. So what helped Iowa State was, since he was bigger than Iowa State, he pulled Iowa State up in terms of athletics and basketball. Academically, they were always great. People didn't. I grew up in Illinois and didn't even know about Iowa State till I came out here. And so he did so much for the university. He did a roast one night and had Judd Heathcote and I think Bobby Knight and George Raveling, and he raised $40,000 and he gave it to the library, Parks Library. I mean, people don't know that kind of thing. So he was an amazing guy, and he made an impact on everybody and made everybody's life better that knew him.
Well, we are going to take a short break here. We'll be right back with more remembrances of Coach Johnny Orr, who passed away this week on Tuesday at the age of 86. With me, Jim Hallahan, who recently retired as executive director of the Iowa Sports Foundation. And from 1982 to 1994, he coached right alongside Johnny Orr at Iowa State University. Bryce Miller is also here. He is a sports columnist for the Des Moines Register. And, of course, we want to hear from you. You can call us at 866-780-9100. And we're going to go into the break with a little tune that you may remember back from 1988. This is Coach Johnny Orr performing with Jim Walton, singing Bettin' on a Good Time.
Two men rode in from parts unknown. Two men with faces hard as stone. Looking for the biggest game in town. Cyclone teams are what they found.
I'm Bad Johnny. I shuffle the deck. I cut him, deal him, and then I collect.
I'm Fast Jimmy. What do you say? I'm a gambling man. I was born to play. The dealer's dealing. Gambler's gambling. It's a nation to hold for the Cyclone.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're remembering Iowa State University basketball coach Johnny Orr, who passed away this week at the age of 86. He coached for the Cyclones from 1980 to 1994, and of course, he was the father of Hilton Magic. He took the Cyclones to the NCAA tournament six times during that time. With me is Bryce Miller, Des Moines Register sports columnist, Jim Hallahan, who recently retired as director of the Iowa Sports Foundation. but he coached alongside Johnny from 1982 to 1994. And I want to bring someone else in the conversation now. Bump Elliott is former athletic director at the University of Iowa. He is very well known as the man who hired Dan Gable, Hayden Fry, Lute Olson, Vivian Stringer, and Tom Davis. He's also a member of the College Football Hall of Fame. But Bump's connection to Johnny Orr goes way back. Hello, Bump.
Hello. Hello.
Hello. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Okay.
And you also grew up in Illinois at the same time that Johnny Orr did, and the two of you actually played against each other in high school, right?
Well, that's correct. I lived in Bloomington, Illinois. John was in southern Illinois, I think Centralia. Anyway, we did play against each other in high school in football and basketball. John was a great basketball player and a good football player, too. But then he went to the University of Illinois, and I went to the University of Michigan. We played against each other again both times, and he was a great competitor, but a great friend, too. I knew him way back when.
What do you remember about him off the court back then?
He wasn't so funny as he is now, or was. But John was a character and always was, but not quite as much so as his years at Iowa State. He really did a great job there.
And then the two of you worked together at the University of Michigan, right?
That's right. We were on the same staff together at one time. He was a head basketball coach, and I was head football coach. That's just before I came to Iowa in 1970.
Now, when you came to Iowa, and then later, Johnny came to Iowa State, were you surprised that he came to Iowa State?
Oh, not necessarily, though, but circumstances were interesting because you probably had the story on already, but when John, actually John was called by Lou, the athletic director at that time, and asked who would be a good coach for Iowa State, and they got to talking more and more, and finally he said, well, what about you, John? He said, well, maybe I'd be interested, and so he came out and visited at Iowa State, came back to Michigan, and he decided to make the move, and it was a very interesting move.
Well, during your time as athletic director at the University of Iowa and Johnny's time as coach at Iowa State University, of course, we all know that the two schools were rivals and are rivals. Did you have much interaction with him here?
My interaction here was with charity things, golf tournaments and things like that. We didn't actually compete against each other than, you know, we were two different schools. But, I saw a good deal of him most of the time in the summertime. He was a really, really fine golfer. I was just very, very ordinary, but I did play in a few of those things. And John was there, too. And we were good friends in high school, college, and became greater friends when we were both in Iowa.
Now, when we were setting up this interview, Bump, I asked you if you had any Johnny stories that you'd like to share, and you said nothing that would be appropriate for radio.
I really don't have any stories. He's a real character and a great guy. And I've been with him many, many times, and he's always fun to be with and a great friend. So, and I have Tommy very well and feel sorry for her, and I give her my sympathy.
So how do you think we should remember Johnny Orr? What about him should we remember?
Well, I think just remember him as he was and is. He was a great asset to Iowa State University. He promoted it like nobody else has ever promoted a school and did a great job for them, not only in coaching but public relations. And he's been a great ambassador for the state of Iowa, as you know and have heard that sometimes Iowa has alumni meetings in Florida or wherever else it might be. And if Johnny's in the region, he's invited to come and always did come and be part of that program. So just remember him for what he contributed to Iowa State and the great friend he was for everybody in the state.
Bump, thank you so much.
Okay.
Bump Elliott is former athletic director at the University of Iowa and a member of the College Football Hall of Fame, and he used to play against Johnny Orr back in high school and college. They coached together also at the University of Michigan. And Jim, Bumps mentioned to me that he had a lot of stories that he couldn't share. Johnny was a lot of fun, too.
Every day. Every day he came in the office. He was there at 8 o'clock on the button. He'd get out of his car, bring his little old 30-year-old brown briefcase in with him. I don't care if we were recruiting till 1 in the morning, he would be there at 8 o'clock every morning, and he always had a story to tell. And I don't know if he ever repeated one. He has so many funny stories, whether it was about his career, short career in the NBA, or coaching in Michigan. At Michigan, he got paid so little that he worked out a deal where he controlled a small parking lot at the football stadium, and he hired a policeman, and he sold tickets for people to park there, and that's how he made a little extra money. So he was just an amazing guy. Just one time he was supposed to go to a game. Bill Frieder was his assistant, who went on to become a great coach, and Frieder was a real intense guy, and, you know, Coach Orr was a little bit loose, and so he was supposed to go to Detroit and see this high school game, and it's only 30 miles or so from Ann Arbor. Well, he called his two buddies, Clem and Bud, and they got the big conversion van and decided, let's go, but let's stop and have a nice steak dinner. So they had a little martini and a steak dinner, and they're having a good time and talking to people, and all of a sudden they realize, whoop, we missed the game. So he returns, and Frieder, the first thing in the morning, Coach, how'd that game go? How'd it go? Coach, it was a good game. They got after him. They really got after him. He never did tell him he didn't go to the game.
So, Bryce, as the Des Moines Register has been publishing a lot about Johnny Orr this week, and so many different remembrances, and there are notes coming in from former players and that kind of thing. Can you try to put it in perspective for us? What do you think Johnny really stood for in the state of Iowa? I mean, he, in many ways, was a real cultural icon.
He was, and they had me write something for the front page of the Register on New Year's Day after we found out that he'd passed. And one of the things I tried to do is talk a little about basketball and as much as I could about the kind of person he was. And, I, you know, Jim is summing it up, you know, incredibly well in terms of just the amount. I mean, wherever the fun switch was on Johnny Orr, it never really flipped off. It was kind of always on. So he was an amazing basketball coach. I mean, you can't be the winningest coach at two major college schools, and not be a great coach. But if you look at it from this perspective, he was also the losingest coach at Iowa State, and his Big Eight record was 79-117. But it was more than the wins and losses in some ways. There were a lot of wins. There were incredibly important wins. The streak at Hilton, the Hilton Magic thing. All of that gave relevance to Iowa State basketball, and the NCAA tournaments at three schools. He took UMass to the tournament too, I believe. You know, all those credentials are there. But there were a lot of losses too as he turned that program around. But it was the kind of person he was. For that story, I talked to Fran Fraschilla and Dick Vitale from ESPN, and they, you know, tried to get their perspective. And I thought Fran Fraschilla put it really well. He compared the heyday of the Big Eight, and Jim remembers these days from the bench very well. Norm Stewart at Missouri, Billy Tubbs at Oklahoma, and Johnny, they were characters as well as basketball coaches. And in this day and age, with CEO kind of sense of being a basketball coach and big money and pressure and seven-figure paychecks, I'm not sure those characters exist anymore. And so Johnny was the face, and in this state, he was the voice. I mean, it's such a distinctive voice. You know, I think Fran Fraschilla said Johnny made basketball fun, and I think we miss that these days, and I think that was one of the things he did. It wasn't the X's and O's of basketball. It was just the environment he created around a sport, and that's one of the things that really made Johnny unique and special.
Well, and you mentioned Dick Vitale, and he kind of had a famous relationship with Dick Vitale with a few run-ins on ESPN, and we have a little clip of an exchange between the two of them, and let's listen just briefly.
Congratulations, Johnny. Good luck. I hope you win it all.
Well, thank you, Lefty. And Val Vino?
Yeah.
You and Dick.
Yeah.
I want to tell you something. Someday I'm going to get a job like that. But all you got to do is, you don't have to coach them anymore, you know. You just say something. You never been to practice, nothing. You just say something. That's a hell of a thing.
Hey, John, I haven't lost a game in 2 years.
I'm undefeated for 13 years, John. The last loss I had was against you in the regionals, baby.
I know.
Michigan team.
And we kicked your ass.
Oh,
All right, on that note, we will move along here. Thank you very much again, gentlemen. Congratulations to Johnny Orr and Lefty Driesell. Maybe next year. Back with more in a moment.
All right, just a little bit of an exchange between Johnny Orr and Dick Vitale on ESPN. And, you know, Bryce, he didn't always have nice things to say about the press.
No, and Rick Brown, who is really from the Des Moines Register, who covered a lot of Johnny's teams, very close to him, I thought wrote a really poignant and on-point personal piece about, you know, Johnny poking him in the chest one day after a big win when Rick had, you know, talked about, you know, the team a bit in a story before that. But they grew to just a great respect and admiration. That was the thing with Johnny, though. He was incapable of you know, editing what he was going to say. You were going to get the unvarnished, absolute feelings that were in his head at that moment, but always respectful over time and always unique and fun relationships with people. I wrote one story. I'll just read this from the story that I wrote. Talking to Fraschilla, it was funny when, Charity, when you asked Bump about any stories, well, I asked Fran that too, and he said the same thing all of us say. I can't tell any clean ones, he said. And so I asked him, and I'll read the story. But I said, well, come on, tell me one. And this is what he said. This was I'll just read these two graphs. ESPN's Fraschilla joked that he didn't know any clean Orr stories to tell, but was persuaded to share one famously passed among Johnny and coaches. In the Des Moines airport, Iowa State was coming back from winning the Toledo tournament, Fraschilla said. That was before charter flights, so a little old lady comes up to Johnny and says, I root for you every game except when you play my Hawkeyes. Johnny says, that's why we enjoy beating you, and then there's an expletive. And you can put your word in there, and I know the word, but you could probably come up with a couple. But I guarantee you in that moment that he tapped the woman on the shoulder, winked, and smiled, and they both laughed about it. That's just the way he was. And as Jim said, it was every day, it was all the time, and he showed that winning didn't have to be serious, and it was serious to win, and the work they had to put in, and the recruiting, and to create the kind of teams they did. But at the same time, he also showed that winning could be fun.
Let's get back to the phones. We have Tim on the line in Des Moines. Hi, Tim.
Good morning.
Hi. What would you like to talk about?
Well, I was just noticing in the Register this morning that there was a piece about the Phoenix Sun coach, Jeff Hornacek, getting a kind of a first in the NBA. And I was also going to kind of just note that, you know, recently when the Iowa State men's basketball team returned from their kind of, current high water mark in Hawaii, the three players were all the MVPs or the all-tournament team selections. The three Iowa State players were all holding what the Register called paddles. But I just found it symbolic and ironic and perhaps a little bit poignant that these three great players currently were holding oars. And I was thinking probably for the rest of the season they should maybe really feature those oars in a display case somewhere near the Johnny statue, because I just thought as he left he had to be really, really proud of those gentlemen. Jeff and everything else that's going on. But, that was it.
All right. Well, Tim, thank you so much for calling.
No problem.
And again, you can join our conversation at 866-780-9100. We were just talking about Jeff Hornacek, who played guard for the Cyclones from 1982 to 1986. He was part of what Johnny Orr called his greatest victory at the NCAA tournament in 1986. He spent 14 years playing in the NBA for the Phoenix Suns, and now he is head coach of the Suns. And, of course, we just learned today, named Coach of the Month, and you're the first person in the NBA to be named Coach of the Month and Player of the Month for the same franchise. Congratulations on that. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, good morning.
Thank you so much for being here today. And we've been reminiscing all hour about Coach Johnny Orr. Can you remember the first time you met him?
Yeah. I was a walk-on, and I didn't go to school the first semester, so I think it was about January 15th, and that day in Iowa was, I think it was about 70 below wind chill factor, and we pulled into the hotel to check in, and the car froze over, and we had to call Coach Orr and see if he could figure out a way to maybe get our car into the Hilton to unfreeze, and you know, he came over kind of laughing, going, "Welcome to Iowa." So, you know, he was a great guy to play for, a great person that anyone who ever crossed his path realized what a great guy he was.
Well, and Jeff, Jim Hallahan, who, of course, you know well, is here on the program with us as well today. And we were reminiscing about the early years at Iowa State for Johnny Orr. In 1982, the program was really just starting to get turned around. How would you describe the morale of the team when you first got there?
Well, you know, when I first got there, the second semester, I think we only won 9 games that year. And but you could see with Coach Orr, with the type of guys he was getting in there, type of players and his system, that we were heading in the right direction. And then the next year came along, and, you know, we gradually built it up. And he just made it fun for players to play. And that's why I think guys loved to go there when he was coaching. You know, he lets you do your thing. He lets you use most of your abilities. And there's so many stories that you know, you come across as a player with a coach that you wouldn't think would happen with a college kid and a coach. But, you know, he was always there for us.
Can you give us a quick example?
Well, you know, since you're talking about Coach Allen, I always like to tell the story of one day I came into the office and I said, "Coach, you know, we had a zone offense and, you know, we were moving the ball well, but we just couldn't get a clear shot." And I said, "Well, what if I do this and we cut here and we do this and that?" And he says to me, he goes, "Yeah, I like that. I'll put that in tomorrow at practice. Will you do me a favor?" I said, "Yeah, sure, Coach. What?" And he goes, "Don't tell a Hallahan." I said, "Why not?" He goes, "Because that was his offense." So, you know, little things like that you know, typically, you know, you'd be afraid to go talk to your coach probably, but he was very willing to listen to suggestions and throw them in there and if he thought they might work.
Terrific. Well, we are going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. And Bryce Miller, I know we have to say goodbye to you. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Bryce Miller, sports columnist for the Des Moines Register. Jim Hallahan will stay with us from 1982 to 1994. He was Johnny Orr's top assistant coach at Iowa State. And Jeff Hornacek will stay with us. Jeff Hornacek, of course, the head coach for the Phoenix Suns in the NBA, but played for Johnny Orr from 1982 to 1986. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we are remembering legendary Cyclone basketball coach Johnny Orr, who passed away earlier this week at the age of 86. With me right now is Jim Hallahan, who recently retired from his position as executive director of the Iowa Sports Foundation. But, of course, from 1982 to 1994, he was Johnny Orr's right-hand man at Cyclone basketball. And also with us, Jeff Hornacek, who played guard for the Cyclones from 1982 to 1984. He also spent 14 years playing in the NBA for the Phoenix Suns, and he is now head coach of the Phoenix Suns and has been named Coach of the Month in the NBA as well. And we want to hear from you. And I do want to get back to the phones. We have a lot of people who want to share their stories and have been waiting patiently. The number to call is 866-780-9100. Reno's on the line from Urbandale. Hi, Reno.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. What would you like to talk about?
Well, I was too bad Bump wasn't around, or was that a pre-recorded one?
No, he's gone, but he was on live.
Because I went to Iowa the same time Bump was there, and Johnny Orr, you know, he was talking about Johnny Orr, the old persona. Well, Johnny showed it early in 74 when Iowa was at Michigan, and Dick Schultz was the head coach at Iowa, and he was kind of an aloof intellectual, and he ended up going to the NCAA front office. And he's in front of Johnny Orr talking to the referee. In those days, you can't do that now, but Johnny Orr didn't like that too much, so he took a towel and snapped it at his way. He didn't hit him, but it made the news that next day. I didn't get to see it because they didn't show him on TV, but I thought I'd tell you that little thing I heard about it.
All right, Reno, thanks a lot. Yep. Well, and Jim and Jeff, Johnny was known for some of his outbursts, not exactly the kind of reputation that some of the coaches had for their outbursts, but he was known for speaking his mind. Jeff?
Oh, yeah. No, he was... he would get on the referees. You know, he'd make sure that they knew that he didn't agree with their call, and you know, that was part of the fun part of being a player. is to see him go, you know, work the refs and, you know, at certain times. I mean, I thought he did it, you know, not every time, but he did it strategically, where, you know, I think I learned some stuff from him trying to coach. You know, there are times I'll say something to a referee, but, you know, not really for that particular play, just trying to get something for a future play. And, you know, those are little things that, you know, I think I picked up from Coach Orr and the way he handled games and let people know, even players. You know, he would let players know what if they're doing something wrong or doing something right. And, you know, that mix of knowing when to get on a guy, when to praise him, you know, they were great lessons for me.
Well, and Jim, were you ever nervous being his right-hand man when he started to express himself?
Only when he chased the refs and I had to grab him by the coat several times. But two things came up in my mind about officials. He would get really mad, but he was smart. So there'd be one official on our side and the official on the other side of the court. So when the official was near our bench, Coach Orr would be yelling and screaming to the guy about the other guy. So it wasn't personal. See, he didn't yell at the guy in front of him. So the guy never called a technical because it wasn't about him. He was telling him how bad the other guy across the way was. So he was pretty smart about that. And then one big game, we were playing Kansas State, and LeFester had gone in for a layup and got knocked down, and there was a little scuffle, and about six of our guys jumped up off the bench, and they realized, oh, there's a new rule, you're going to get technicals, and they jumped back in, and this point guard for Kansas State noticed it, went to his coach, told the officials, and here comes J.C. Limebach lumbering over towards Coach Orr, who was this big referee, did football and basketball, and he said, Coach, I got some bad news for you, which was going to be seven technical fouls. And O said something like, J.C., you haven't had one da-da-da-da-da-da-da good thing to say tonight. Well, that was his first technical. Then his second one, he went out, and then there were five more for the players, and he was leaving the court. He said, Jim, take over, Hallie. Well, we had a minute and a half to go. We went 14 down on those seven free throws, and I had no chance. But he had to be escorted out that night.
Oh, wow. Mike is on the line next from Davenport. Hi, Mike.
Hello, this is Mike. I've loved your show for the last couple of years.
Oh, thanks a lot.
I used to have this job that started late in the morning. You kind of perked me up before I went to work. So anyway, I met Coach Orr in 1983, and it was a Cyclone thing in Davenport. And he was there. I loved his jokes, and he had this funny laugh, and he had this nice, hoarse voice. And I happened to win a golf bag, Iowa State golf bag, at this raffle. The trouble is that I didn't play golf, and I kind of was a little bit down about it. And he said, what's wrong? I said, I don't play golf. And he said, sell the sucker. So I sold the golf bag and got money to buy a ticket for an Iowa State football game.
So great advice for life, huh, Mike?
He was a great guy from the one meeting I had from him. And the basketball program is pretty much dead. There was a good coach, Maury John, and he was good for the program. Then he had cancer and quit. And it seems like under the other coaches, the program kind of died. Then Johnny Orr brought it back to life.
Well, Mike, thank you so much for your call. And the program, many people have described it before Johnny Orr came as being dormant. The Cyclones hadn't been to the NCAA tournament since just after World War II, before Johnny arrived in 1980. And Jeff Hornacek, Johnny Orr described the victory where the Cyclones beat Michigan in the NCAA tournament in 1986 to get into the Sweet 16 as his greatest victory. And, of course, you were a big part of that victory. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, well, you know, that was a tournament game, and Coach Orr was really sick. He had a flu or something, and, you know, he didn't look like he'd be able to coach much, but there was no way he was missing that game. And, you know, that was his old team at Michigan, and you know, we went out there, started the game, and I think we were losing 11-2. And, you know, the story has it that Dick Vitale and whoever else, Billy Packer, were on the game and said, this looks like the men against the boys. And then we proceeded to kind of battle back. And, you know, coach made a great move. They had a 7-footer in Roy Tarpley, and we put 6'5", 145-pound Ronnie Virgil on him. And because he was more of an outside guy anyway, and Verge did a great job on them. We ended up coming back and beating them. And, you know, we all going down the hallway. We were in the big dome there, so by the time it got to the locker room, it was about a two-minute walk. And, you know, we're lifting Coach Orr up, and, yeah, you could tell that it doesn't matter that he had the flu that night. He felt, you know, for us as players trying to win that game, not for us, but for him being against Michigan.
And, Jim, I'm sure you have fond memories of that as well.
Oh, yeah. You know, he really was sick. He should have been in bed. And we were playing on a floor that was elevated, so you actually sat below the floor, and your head would be like on floor level if you were sitting on a chair. And so the game started, and Frieder's up there. He's a Michigan coach at the time. He's up there working the officials and walking the floor. And I said, Coach, you got to get up there. He said, Coach, I'm just too sick. I said, hey, we'll put the chair up there, and you just sit in the chair. I just want them to see you. They've got to see you. So we put him up on that chair, and then he kind of it got him going. He forgot about the flu, and he was his old self. But I felt so bad for him because his greatest victory ever, and he really couldn't enjoy it during the time. And I have to compliment Jeff on his great career at Iowa State in that game in particular. Jeff was a guy that saw things happen on the court actually before the coaches even did. He'd make a pass, and you think, where did that come from? And at the end of the game, and it was really close, he noticed that Elmer Robinson's man was guarding him on the wrong side. It happened to be Glenn Rice, who ended up being an All-American. And Jeff kind of gave Elmer a little nod, and when he took the ball out of bounds at the middle of the court, boom, Elmer took off, and he dunked it, and that was the end of the game.
Wow. That's great. Let's get back to the phones. Dean from Dubuque, you've got a story that goes back well before Johnny was a Cyclone coach, right, Dean?
Yes.
Tell us about it.
Well, wrestling had just started up at Dubuque Senior, and, of course, Johnny was coaching senior at that time. And
so this was back in the 1950s, right?
Locker room after practice. We had to share it with basketball players, and they resented us, thought we were a bunch of smelly clods. And finally, one day after practice, one of our heavier weight wrestlers had enough of it, and he pushed a basketball player in a row of eight lockers. They went over with a crash, and Johnny came running out. What's going on here? And we told Johnny that we weren't getting any respect from the basketball players, and that we resented their resenting us. And he said, well, we're all athletes. We all have to work together here, and we all go to senior high. And he made the basketball team apologize to us, and we all felt a lot better about that, and there were never any more problems in the locker room.
Well, Dean, thank you so much for sharing that story.
Yeah.
And, you know, there have been a number of stories this week that people have shared that show Johnny's respect for others. Here's one. This is a Facebook post from Joe. He says, Johnny Orr provided me with some of my best memories of college. I ushered for 3 years at Hilton, and senior year was fortunate enough to have had the duty of guarding the ISU bench during timeouts to keep gawkers from stopping by to listen in on his chalk talks with the team. Definitely the best assignment in the house. When I moved away from the state, I helped form the ISU alumni clubs in southern Wyoming, northern Colorado, and here in Louisville, Kentucky, where I now live. I probably would never have done that had Johnny not left such an impression on me. And throughout the week, actually, my cousin, who lives in England now, made a note. He used to play in the pep band, and he said that every game, Johnny made a point of thanking the pep band. And whenever they were at an event, he made a point of thanking the caterers. Jim, did Johnny have a philosophy about making sure that people who worked hard got recognition?
He just treated everybody great. I mean, when he went to Cyclone outings, they would double the number of people because he would talk to everybody, and he could remember names. I don't know how you do that. Of course, most of them were called coach, but he also remembered people's names and could talk to them and remember things that they've told him about their kids. And so everybody felt Coach Orr was their best friend, and that's a really unique ability to have. I just got – just before the show started, I got an email, and I graduated from – I had my 50th high school reunion this year, and there's a kid I haven't seen in 50 years. And I got an email from him, and it said, I couldn't help thinking about you as I read the article surrounding Coach Orr's death. I know you had many great years with him, and I'm sure you enjoyed those years. My condolences to you and to his family. Now, this is the impact. 50 years, I haven't seen this kid or talked to him. And wow. He knew about Coach Orr, and he sends me an email. I mean, that's That's Coach O. That's the impact that Coach O had on people.
Let's go back to the phones. Brian is on the line next from Des Moines. Hi, Brian.
Charity, thanks for taking my call. Love the show, and I've got two things. One, want to thank Jim and Jeff and Johnny for spoiling us as fans of Iowa State basketball. I went to school from 82 to 87 at Iowa State, and we just assumed that this was normal practice at all basketball arenas, and it wasn't. So thank you for the great years then. My question is for Jim. I heard a rumor that one of the Lynn Nance film guys had the role of showing coaching candidates for the open position film of the previous Iowa State squad. And in addition to showing film to Johnny Orr, showed film to a young Mike Krzyzewski. Any truth to that rumor?
Well, I know Mike Krzyzewski was being considered for the job. He was one of the candidates along with Gail Catlett. And I think that's when he took the Duke job. I wasn't here yet, so I'm not sure if that's the way the story went, but I know Mike Krzyzewski was one of the people they had talked to, but I believe he took the Duke job before Iowa State, you know, would have had a chance to do anything with him. But on Coach Orr and watching film, and Jeff will remember this, he didn't like to watch too much film. That was our job as assistants. He wanted to see the highlights, and he wanted to focus on what our team needed to do to win the game and not worry too much about the other team.
Well, there's a comment here from Lee in Cedar Falls, and this is for Jeff. He wants to say congratulations on the excellent start for the Phoenix Suns this year. He also wants to know, how much is your style of play with the Suns based on Coach Orr's style of play when you were with the Cyclones?
Well, you know, Coach Orr's, my playing days there is a big influence. You know, when I was in high school, we were kind of a slow-down team, played a lot of zone. But then when I got to Iowa State under Coach Orr and Coach Hallahan, you know, we were up and down team, flying up and down the court, you know, man to man. And, you know, that's really my kind of style. I got into the NBA and ended up, you know, having the best years here in Phoenix with Cotton Fitzsimmons, who was very similar in terms of the way they coached. They let guys play. They made it fun. It was up and down game.
And it's a lot more fun to watch.
Yeah. Like, you know, the Coach Orr gave you great confidence in you know, taking shots. A lot of times, you know, I try to do that now, where if you get on guys about the shots they take, you know, all of a sudden they're starting to think about it, and you want them to just let it go and fire away. And that was Coach Orr. You know, his style was get up and down that court. You know, if you took bad shots, they'd get on you, but, for the most part, it was just a high confidence level that he instilled in the players, and you know, guys would do anything for Coach Orr: dive on the floor, dive into the stands, crash into a backboard. It didn't matter, because, you know, you had a great coach behind you, and you tried to do anything you could for him.
How do you think people should remember Johnny Orr, Jeff?
With the fist raised in the air. You know, I know when I was playing, it was when he came out to the Here's Johnny song, went up and down the sidelines pumping his fist, and, you know, you just watched the other team just stop their warm-ups and look at him, and you knew you had the advantage right there. You knew it was a win because they were so distracted by what was going on that, you know, that's only one way to see Coach Orr, with that fist in the air, and, you know, that thing says it all.
Jeff Hornacek, thank you so much.
Okay, thanks. See you, Coach.
See you, Jeff.
Jeff Hornacek played guard for the Cyclones from 1982 to 1986. He's now head coach for the Phoenix Suns. And, Jim, I'll let you have the last word. How do you want Johnny to be remembered?
Well, I think you remember him as someone with great passion. He was just great for Iowa.
Well, Jim, thank you so much for sharing your memories, and I'm sorry for your loss this week.
Thank you.
Jim Hallahan coached alongside Johnny Orr for many years, from 1982 to 1994, his right-hand man with Cyclone basketball. Johnny Orr passed away on Tuesday at the age of 86, and we now know that his death was due to complications from a fall. Coach Fred Hoiberg was unable to be with us today. He has said that Johnny Orr was his hero, and he would have liked to be part of the program, but he's traveling with the team today. So let's go out with one more. Here's Johnny. Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese, Emily Woodbury, Sarah Bowden, and Ben Stanton. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins, with technical support today from John Pemble. This is Talk of Iowa. We'll be right back.